ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। यस्मात् यस्मात् प्रिया प्रिया वियोग संयोग जन्म शोकाग्निना शकलयोनिषुधयमानः दुःखौषधं तदपि दुःखम् अत धिया अहम् भूमान् भ्रमामि वद मे तव दास्य योगम्। यस् ट्रांसलेशन प्रोवाइडेड बाय हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस श्रील प्रभुपाद। ओ ग्रेट वन, ओ सुप्रीम लॉर्ड, because of combination with pleasing and displeasing circumstances, and because of separation from them, one is placed in a most regrettable position within heavenly or hellish planets, as if burning in a fire of lamentation. Although there are many remedies by which to get out of miserable life, any such remedies in the material world are more miserable than the miseries themselves. Therefore, I think that the only remedy is to engage in your service. Kindly instruct me in such service. Purport. Prahlad Maharaj aspired to engage in the service of the lotus feet of the Lord. After the death of his father, who was materially very opulent, Prahlad would have inherited his father's property, which extended throughout the world. But Prahlad Maharaj was not inclined to accept such material opulence. For whether one is in the heavenly or hellish planets, or is a rich or poor man's son, material conditions are everywhere. Therefore, no condition of life is at all pleasing. If one wants the uncontaminated pleasure of blissful life, he must engage himself in the transcendental loving service of the Lord. Material opulence may be somewhat pleasing for the time being, but to come to that temporary pleasing condition, one must work extremely hard. When a poor man is rich, he may be better situated, but to come to that position, he had to accept many miseries. The fact is that in material life, whether one is miserable or happy, both conditions are miserable. If one actually wants happy, blissful life, one must become Krishna conscious and constantly engage in the transcendental loving service of the Lord. That is the real remedy. The entire world is under illusion that people will be happy by advancing in materialistic measures to counteract the miseries of conditional life. But this attempt will never be successful. Humanity must be trained to engage in the transcendental loving service of the Lord. That is the purpose of the Krishna consciousness movement. There can be no happiness in changing one's material conditions, for everywhere there is trouble and misery. Om Krishna. The message of the Srimad Bhagavatam, coming from the transcendental realm as it is always very loud and very clear. It is conspicuous that there is never any ambiguity in communication of the message when it comes from a transcendental realm. The communication is always accurate and perfect. The Lord is speaking here through the mouth of Prahlad Maharaj, who is offering prayers to the Lord himself. And of course, we are not hearing from just a small child who talks childish language, broken language, who just a playful simpleton. But here is a person who is a prodigy, who has assimilated all that Narad Muni had to offer, 100%. What is the extent of Narad Muni's knowledge? Who can estimate that? What does Narad Muni know? He is devotional service personified. And all that he had to offer was given to transfer to the heart of Prahlad Maharaj. Great disciple must come from a great guru. So here is Prahlad speaking in Parampara. And his communication to the Lord and of course to all of us is very loud and clear. Very black and white, no grey. You always see this area in this materialism. There are some grey areas. You know, this is usually the nowadays in, you know, the grey area. Yeah. Nothing here is black and white. Everything is grey practically. But Bhagavatam is not grey. Bhagavatam is black or it is white. Never grey. What is the clear communication? And Prabhupada makes it even more blacker by his purports. It's already black, but makes it even more black, jet black, by saying that there is just no hope. You call it pessimism, call it escapism, you call it whatever you want. That's your problem. But the message is here to stand and is believed and accepted by all the great souls throughout the ages that this material world is and will remain for all times to come. Sarva yonishu, sakala yonishu. Not only for all times to come, but for all yonis. Whether it is the great Devendra, who has Nandananda Kanan gardens and apsaras and somras at his disposal, or the ant on the side of the road. Everybody, sakal yonishu. It is a miserable situation. Now, why don't we believe this but? Why don't we believe this once and for all? It's a very interesting question, no? Why don't we believe this? You see the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, the end. Now, you know, you find a lot of success books in this world. How to do it, how to become successful, 101 ways to become successful, 8 ways to become successful, 3 ways to become successful. I mean, any something like that. All sorts of figures are there. 101 ways to become improve your digestion, whatever. Like that, there are books like that. I have a book like that called 101 Ways to Improve Digestion. So like that, so many ways of doing so many things. All these success people are people who are on the top. And they are being projected, or are they projecting themselves as being happy, successful, up there, no problems, everything is wonderful, everything is Vaikuntha, no anxiety. That is a claim. That is the facade. That is the, you know, comes from a cheating propensity, obviously. Where does it come from? It has to come from somewhere. It has come from the cheating propensity of the human being. So these are successful people who are projected as being happy. And the Bhagavatam is also a book of successful people. Definitely very successful. Far more successful than all the bestseller books which are written and their authors. You trace from the Bhagavatam, first canto, Wasn't anybody more successful than Duryodhan in terms of what he had got? What he had got? So much. You go to any page of the Bhagavatam, any canto, Prachini Bharishat, what was he? The grand king of all the worlds. Who was more successful than him? What talk of Chitraketu Maharaj? The small-time successful people of this world who are, you know, excelling in something, you know. But nobody was successful as Chitraketu Maharaj. Nobody. Any canto of Bhagavatam. And who was successful than Hiranyakashipu? Nobody. He stands out among all the great people in the Bhagavatam. He stands out as being outstandingly wonderful. Nobody had the power and the influence to control the universe. So, in a complete contrast to the material projections, the Bhagavatam says, here are the people who are most successful, my dear friends. Most successful. A type of success which you cannot even imagine, you cannot even dream, which you cannot even aspire for. We are so small that we can aspire only for getting first rank in 10th standard. There's a limit of our brains. Or come first in IIT, GE. We can think only so small because we are small. Or you want to become at the most a manager in your company. You cannot think big also. We are so fallen, we are so degraded, we cannot even think big. You want to capture some companies and grab some companies, buy them off. 5 companies, 10 companies, 15 companies. Can you buy the universe? Can you buy Devendra? He was purchased. He was a slave. He was purchased in such a way that he had to become a slave of Hiranyakashipu. He was washing his feet practically. So he purchased Varuna and Vayu also. What talk of purchasing some 10, 15 crore, 20 crore, 100 crore companies? He purchased all the 33 million demigods. And they all were saying salam saab to him. That's it. Everyone was doing, saluting him. He was so powerful. But the important question which must always strike us is, was he really happy? That's the bottom line. That's a crucial question. All these bestseller books, are they really happy? Yes, they are successful. But are they happy? Success and happiness don't go together. That's the point. Success and material life and happiness are two distinct entities. And the materialist makes the mistake of combining the two and say, well, if he's successful, he must be. I mean, he doesn't know, but he just presumes. It's a totally unscientific approach. You don't just presume. There's nothing scientific about it. It's not testified in the laboratory that, yes, every successful man must be happy. There's no scientific proof like that whatsoever. People say, we are unscientific, right? You guys are all unscientific. You don't see a god like that, playing a flute. You're unscientific people. But here is a totally unscientific bias of even the most scientific-minded person who presumes that if somebody is successful in life, he must be synonymously happy also. But there is every evidence in material life, every evidence to see in the pages of Bhagavatam to show the contrary. That is not true. Yes, you can be successful. Because success is based on so many things, like much of it is based on your past life activities. Much of it is based on that. So people become successful. But you don't have a claim to happiness. That's very important to understand. Just because he has a Mercedes car doesn't mean he's happy. Just because he's living in a 3 BHK flat doesn't mean he's happy. Just because he's got 5 factories doesn't mean that he's happy. Happiness is a distinct entity. It is a condition of the soul, which it is only experienced when it is as a natural state of existence. and never otherwise. Except some flickering sensation of happiness based on sensory stimulation. All happiness of this world, which is called as happiness, is nothing else but a temporary, transient sensory stimulation. That's about all. Because it is based on sensory perception only, it is always, 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 always temporary. Because matter is temporary. Stimulation of matter also is always temporary. All that gets stimulated, all that goes up, as we say in material world, and all that goes up goes down. So even when you stimulate something, it is always a temporary rise, but it always goes down. And goes lower down than its previous state. That is, this is science. This I'm talking about science now. Anything which is stimulated must go into a state of deactivation in this next phase. Like alcohol is a stimulant. But why do alcoholics suffer from depression? The alcohol stimulates and leads you to a lower level of mental state than the previous one. So what appears to be a very, desirable thing to have, the high and whatever else goes with that. I know I tasted a drop of alcohol. I don't know what it means, but I have a lot of people who know, who drink. So whatever they drink, it goes high, but then it goes low. And then you want a little more to go to the same high. And that's how everyone becomes an alcoholic. And then he becomes anonymous. He loses his identity. He doesn't know who he is. Becomes anonymous. That is similar to must go down. It is very scientific to understand this very properly. Depression. One of the commonest problems of this world is depression. Oh, there is not many statistics how many people are depressed in this world. Practically a large percent of people go to depression. Large percentage of a serious nature throughout their life at least once. And those who recognize it may have to go to a psychiatrist. But there does not exist any cure for depression in today's world. But what they can do, how they can cure depression? They can only cure depression by giving you antidepressant drugs. That means there are hormones in the brain. Some of them are excitatory, some of them are inhibitory. In a very simplistic manner. Some excite you, stimulate you, enliven you, and some make you feel like that. The balance. In the material world, there's always a balance. There have to be both, is it not? There have to be both types of things. There cannot be one and not the other. Everything is a duality. There has to be one and high, which one goes low. Something, some mechanism to raise the blood pressure, and if it goes high, some mechanism to reduce the blood pressure. Some mechanism to raise the heart rate, some mechanism to lower the heart rate. So that always has to be, and the body is made so beautifully by nature, by God, by Krishna, that everything is balanced. Right? So depression obviously is a condition where the inhibitory hormones are predominating and the excitatory hormones are less. So our friends, the psychiatrist and the scientist, they say, oh, no problem. Absolutely. This is not a problem. We have identified all those neurotransmitters and we know which one to suppress, which one to excite. You'll be solved. This will be problem, no problem. So they give you the stimulatory drugs. And it makes you feel good. You may not be good, but it at least makes you feel good. But we find that because a basic problem is depression, after a few months is another attack. Last time one drug had worked. This time that will not going to work so much. He will require either a higher dose of the first one or two. Now we have seen people who are on 7 antidepressant drugs and still not feeling good. Still not feeling good. Still depressed. And of course, as Prahlad Maharaj says here, even if it is apparently taken as a solution, what about the miseries along with that? They all put on weight. They become big. The metabolism becomes so much deranged that they become big. Hypometabolism. And they get thyroid problems and they get diabetes and all sorts of things. So the point is, anything of this world which is apparently excitatory, whether it's a drink or a smoke or a drug or a dance in a discotheque or whatever it is, whatever you feel gave you that feeling of happiness, be sure that it is going to give you a lower state just within a few minutes after you stop that activity. Yahi samsparshaja bhoga. Next is what? Dukha yona yevate. It is absolutely a concomitant, you know, thing which happened immediately after that. You go high and then it's low. Samsparsha bhoga. Yeah, samsparshaja. Oh, my senses are now excited because of they are in contact with the sense objects. But Krishna is so beautiful, so wonderful, so kind, and so clear in his communication. My dear friends, all the readers of Gita, understand this. Immediately the next phenomenon will take place. If you want to take it, take it. It's for everybody. Then immediately accept the other one also then. Dukha yona evate. Why? Why dukha yona? Why that should come afterwards? That could be also a good question. Why not a sustained state of stimulation? Just go on with that non-stop. Because the law of this world is, we are talking about fundamental science now. We are not talking about anything, we are talking about fundamental science. The way the creation has been made by the Creator. And he has put his brains behind everything he is doing perfectly. The fundamental science governing all phenomena is Adi Antamanta Kaunteya. That which is Adi must also have a Anta. There can never be an Adi state in this material world. Adi, it has to begin somewhere, something big. So your stimulation begins at point zero. It goes on till point five. And point six has to be Anta. It cannot go on for point five and it goes on ad infinitum. No. There has to be a Adi Antamanta Kaunteya. So all sensual pleasures, all mental pleasures, all intellectual pleasures, or even apparently metaphysical pleasures. What to talk of transcendental is a different category. But even metaphysical pleasures of merging the Brahma Jyoti, which the Mayavadi is so much like it, even that has to have a Anta. Here when that sloka, Vimukta Mandinas, when they go up till there, right up till there, at infinitum, they think, finished, now I'm in the Brahma Jyoti. That's the highest. I'm out of the material world. I'm in the Brahma Jyoti now. Finished. This is infinite. But even that, Adi leads to Anta. Even from there, they have to come down. So we can understand this very clearly, that every phenomena of this world has a beginning and must have an end. And certainly happiness is in the same realm. It has a beginning, it has an end. The ultimately Prabhupada says, if there's happiness or misery, it is all miserable. Because that's the foundational principle of this world. There are three principles, there are three fundamental principles of creation in general. Three. Now, when we look at fundamental principles, they help us to understand things very clearly. We're not looking at superficial science. We're looking at basic foundational principles of this world. The spiritual world, the three principles governing the spiritual world are everything there. Actually, there is no thing there, actually. There's no thing. They're all people there. Yeah, there are things. This is a thing. There is no thing in the spiritual world. It's interesting. And the grass is not a thing. And the tree is not a thing. Even a plate on which Krishna may be eating is not a thing. There are no things in the spiritual world. So there, everything is based on three things. everything there has to be, by definition, Sat, Chit and Ananda. Everything, constitutionally, innately, intrinsically, is eternal, full of knowledge, and most important, full of bliss. Everything there. And because the shloka of Urdhamula Arla Shaka is so important for us to understand, sadhakas, that everything in the world, in this world, which the perceptible world, the nominal world, the phenomenal world, which we see around us, that is exactly a mirror image. And the viraja is a dividing line. It's like it folds on itself. The viraja line is like the binder, like you have a book. This is spiritual, this is material, it goes like this. So this dividing line is the viraja. So when the spiritual world reflects on the material world, it becomes like a Xerox. It is a colored Xerox, not a white and black Xerox. It looks exactly like the original. Practically nowadays, Xerox machines are so wonderful. You can't make out, original Xerox, you can't make out. It's so precise and so, the color resolution has been technologically so beautifully made that every color Xerox looks like original. It's true. And that's how the spiritual, if a human being can make something like this, I mean, just imagine, if a teeny brain of a human being can make a machine which can duplicate exact replicas, and you can make 1 million copies, of course, 1 million, I'm saying many, many copies, and you, but all of them will be like, looking the same, like original. If a human being can make something like this, exactly replicating duplicates, why can't God do that? What prevents from God being able to do that also? So he creates exact replica. Exact replica. But it's a replica. That means it is based on three inversely proportional qualities. Sat has to become Asat. Chit has to become Achit. And Ananda must become Nirananda. Now here you are. Everything which you look around, has to be based on these three. It's like a tripod stand. Creation of this world lands on a tripod stand. The tripod stand consists of Sat, Chit, and Asat, Achit, Nirananda. No wonder Krishna is saying material world is Asat, is Dukhalayam, Ashashvatam. So here, whether you are Hiranyakashipu or a Ravana or a Kumbhakarna or a, you know, Chitraketu or a Dashrath or whatever you are, whatever type of person you are, or you are a beggar at Grand Road Station, whatever you are governed by these three principles. Everything you try to do in the world will strike you as being asat. It will give you pleasure for some time and it's gone. It does not promote any enlightenment or knowledge acquiring position, and it will always end in Nirananda, always Nirananda. Everything will be ending in Nirananda. So, the Bhagavatam is so clear in its communication. Shukdev Goswami Maharaj, Srila Prabhupada and Prahlad Maharaj, all of them are very loudly and clearly saying that this is not the way to happiness. But it does not just tell you this problem. It is so nice that it is complete. It is wholesome. It is holistic. Krishna is Purna. Krishna's message is always, always, always also never apurna. Always Purna. So in the same purport, Prabhupada is not only talking about the miseries of life, but he also tells us vis-a-vis immediately that the real pleasure is in serving the lotus feet of Sri Krishna. That is a fountainhead. We want to find out where is happiness come from. Where does the Ganga come from? Oh, difficult question. Does it come from Gomukh? No. That's at least the material end point of Ganga. But nobody knows where the Ganga comes from. It's a glacier. How can a glacier produce, Gomukh is a glacier. How can a glacier produce billions of tons of water? So Ganga, nobody knows. Where does it come from? Enigmatic. So can't trace the origin of so many things. The question is, where does happiness come from? Good question. Where does all happiness come from? Where does money come from? Like that. Where does medicine come from? Where does the shoe come from? Oh, it's come from Bata. Where does everything come from? Where did you come from? From my parents. Where does everything come from? Where does happiness come from? It comes only from Krishna. So if you were to tap that source of happiness, you tap, you know. You want to connect yourself with that source. Then won't you be happy? If that person is the source of happiness, not just happiness, unlimited happiness. Because what is asat, there is sat, eternal. That means Krishna, if he gives happiness to you, he will not give you asat happiness. He will give you only sat happiness. He can only give, even if he wants to give asat, he cannot give because that's not what he's made up of. He can only give you, if that's what he's made up of, he made up of sat, he can only give you sat. Eternal happiness. So we just connect with him through a process of yoga. Linking is done through yoga. And there's a nice word here by Prahlad Maharaj. I never heard this word before. We heard of bhakti yoga, we heard of jnana yoga, karma yoga. He says the word here, dasya yoga, beautiful. So that yoga word is, you know yoga, we know what yoga means today. Yoga means, like there was Ayurvedic toothpaste. And trains are full of ads everywhere. So yoga for your teeth. What do you mean yoga for your teeth? They use this tarot toothpaste, you know. It is like yoga for your teeth. And then you have some person, you know, with all teeth. Stupid. What have they made of the word yoga? You link your teeth to these herbs in this Ayurvedic toothpaste, and it becomes yoga for your teeth. Yoga. But here it is so specific. That yoga means dasya yoga. It is very explicit. It's so beautiful. That the real yoga is the yoga of not twisting and doing Ramdev Maharaj's yoga. Today you talk about yoga, you immediately think of Ramdev Maharaj, right? He's like, everywhere there are CDs, books, medicines, everyone is saying Divya Pharmacy, this, that. Everyone into Ramdev Maharaj. Ramdev Maharaj. Of course, people are saying Ram Ram at least by that way. Whether they get benefit of the yoga they do or not, by uttering his name, they're getting benefit of the bhakti yoga part at least. Ramdev Maharaj, Ramdev Maharaj. Ram Ram, Satya hai. Ultimate truth is Ram. Anyway, so when you say yoga, you may think of Kapalbhati and Anulom Vilom only, right? That's what it is, degenerated. Everything in the material world ultimately degenerates. So yoga is come down to just mean moving your abdomen front and back, front and back, front and back. Like a bellow. That is yoga now. That is yoga. What a ridiculous idea of yoga we have come up with, you know. Just moving your abdomen, put, 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 put like that. And say, this is yoga. But this is not yoga. There's nothing to do with yoga actually. Because you're not linking to anything. It is your own abdomen. You're not linking it with anyone. Yoga means to link. What are you linking up with when you're moving your abdomen put, put, put like that? At the most, you're linking up your front back to your back back. Linking your front abdomen and back abdomen. That's all. That type of yoga it is. But real yoga is, Prahlad Maharaj is so nicely saying, dasa yoga. That means the connection between the das and the Prabhu. If there's das, there has to be a Prabhu also. I mean, there cannot be only das, 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 das. Who's the Prabhu then? And the Prabhu is Sri Krishna, the all beautiful. Akhila Rasamrita Sindhu. Akhila Rasamrita Murti. There is a person who has got unlimited rasa. All the rasa of this world, whether it's alcohol, nicotine, or anything, any good food, whatever, good dress, temporary rasa. Chappala sukha labha lagire. Thakur Binodinath says, defines that. It is all in the category of chapala sukha. Sukha, but it is all chapala. Chapala, pala. Pala means pal. Pala means moment. Chapala. Pala means, chapala means, I guess it is a moment only. Lesser than a moment maybe. Chapala. Pala. We say this I also in the pa, palak. That from the word pa comes palak. Palak marte. Palak means puk, puk, like that. That is palak. So pala means also pala. Ek pal, do pal, char pal. One pal, moment. Chapala. So our happiness of the world has to be only chapala. But if you want ananta, if you want eternal happiness, then we have to link with through Dasa Yoga. Ekaleshwara Krishna Arasaba Dasa. Arasaba Bhritya. That only one person is the Supreme Ishwara, that is Krishna. So Srila Prabhupada has linked us through Dasa Yoga with Akhila Samrita Murti. No wonder Rupa Goswami was very happy living under a tree. No wonder Shukla Marbachari was so happy begging his, you know, dried rice, chipped rice. No wonder Sudama was happy living in the hut. No wonder Sridhar Golachwar was happy living in his tattered sub-poverty conditions. No wonder. It is not surprising that they were happy, actually, from the point of view of Bhakti Yoga. Because they are intensely engaged in Dasa Yogam. Intensely engaged in Dasa Yogam. That nothing of this world outside them, outside of them, had any relevance. They were not dependent on anything else. We become dependent on so many things for our chapala sukha. Mobile is not there in your hand. You feel, wow, where's my mobile? Where's my mobile? Where's my mobile? It was a misery. You search everywhere. Kidhar mobile? Oh, it's in my hand. It happens many times nowadays. You're talking to somebody and said, where's my mobile? Where's my mobile? It's in your hand only. Is it talking? So absence of a mobile from your hand causes misery. Add it one more. Adi Daivik, Adi. One more. Adi. So like that. Misery. But Krishna. So we can understand the pleasure of Shuklabhar Brahmachari. How is it that somebody can be happy taking stale rice, rotten rice, which is so many days old, thrown away by cows from their own mouth mixed with saliva? What is that bizarre condition? There are some people who are psychiatric, who just eat stale food. A psychiatric condition like that. They just like stale, wretched food. Was Raghunath Das Goswami like that? The son of a multi-billionaire. What was giving him pleasure in eating that rice? Dasa Yogam to Lord Jagannath. Because it is Jagannath's remnants that he was tasting. So we have to believe these examples. Yes, Sudama was happy. It's not just a mythology that it was all somebody living in a hut was happy. They were all happy people. Why would Rupa Goswami, who would retire with a boat full of gold coins, ever want to renounce that? When you retire and you get a VRS, you get a couple of lakhs of rupees, that's all. From which you can buy a few gold coins. But nobody gets a VRS whereby they can get a boat full of gold coins. Nobody. Now, when he retired from his government services, he had a boat full of gold coins. Now, why would somebody even retire like that then? So what a fool, you know, why did you retire? If this is your retirement benefits, what were you actually getting when you are already on service? But he retired. So is Rupa Goswami a fool? Is Jiva Goswami a fool? Is Sanatana Goswami a fool? Finance minister, home minister, were they fools to retire? We will have to believe this today or tomorrow that yes, there is this type of pleasure. It will challenge our mind. It will challenge our intelligence. It will challenge our logical thinking. It will challenge our brainwashing. It will challenge. it stands as a stark reality. Wow, what is this? Why did they feel so happy doing this? It will challenge our consciousness to disbelieve what we have believed for millions of lifetimes, that there is a pleasure far greater than what all the world can offer. And that comes from a grain of dust lying at the feet of Sri Krishna. When that, you get the grain of dust on your head, you go into ecstasy. When Akrura saw that dust, he didn't even see Krishna. He has not seen Akhilera Samrita Sindhu still at that time. He was just going towards Vrindavan and only seeing the dust of Vrindavan. And that was sufficient to go put him into raptures. He was rolling like a madman, crying in ecstasy. And the dust has that potency of Vrindavan to give you. The dust is non-different from Krishna. It is Krishna's dust. It is absolute. It is also Sat, Chit and Ananda-giving. When you see that dust, when you taste that dust, put it in your mouth, you put it on your head. If you are qualified, you will experience raptures. So we are all hankering for that. But we can only hanker for that, we can only get that when we put complete faith in these words of Prahlad and Prabhupada, that there is nothing here which I have really to stay here for. Let me once and for all relinquish that stupid desire I have harbored in Sakala Yoni Shu. In every yoni I felt that this was the answer. Here was a pleasure. Here I got it. I've had it now. But Sakala Yoni, no. It didn't happen. Didn't happen. Why not understand? It will never happen. It will never happen in a day of Brahma, because even Brahma doesn't have it. It's only with Krishna. Krishna's holy names, Krishna's devotional service, Krishna's kirtan, Krishna's katha, all these are imbued with his quality of being Sachitananda. Therefore, Damodara Stagma, all these beautiful prayers, devotees are so Ananda Kunde, kunds of Ananda, no Nirananda there absolutely, kund of Ananda, reservoir of Ananda. So we have that opportunity. We have the information. We have the intelligence by the mercy of Prabhupada to think like this and understand this. If only we can believe Prabhupada, if we can only we can put our implicit faith. Yesadeva para bhakti rithadeva tatha gurau. If you just put your faith in Krishna's words, Guru's words, then all the pleasures of the spiritual world are wide open for you. So let us believe. Let us become believers. Let us shed. Like the snake sheds his old skin, let us shed our old ideas of happiness and adapt the garb, wear the dress of transcendental knowledge as given to us by Srimad Bhagavatam. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Are there any questions or comments? Granthara Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.